will be the 8th anniversary of the program in SJPA. For the last 7 years, we have been providing needy students with school uniforms to start the new year term, a new school term. It is expected that about 500 to 600 needy students will receive the school items this year. Each student will receive a full set of school items, which consists of school bags, shoes, books, stationery, etc., which cost about 100 ringgit. The amount may not be a lot, but it is a simple yet significant gesture of ours to show our care and concern to poor students. We hope that through this simple but sincere gesture, the students are motivated to study better and achieve academic success and eventually success in life. This noble task can be achieved with the continuous support of generous donors. If you wish to contribute this year to the Educate program to support the needy students, please contact Sister Lady at 03-5631-5299. This year's annual Vipassana meditation retreat at SJBA will be from 12 December 2014 to 22nd December 2014. The retreat will be conducted by Venerable Seado U Sobitar and Seado U Rewetar from Chamye Yekka Meditation Center. If you wish to join in a retreat as yogi, or wish to be a helper, or sponsor food for monks and yogis and other expenses during the retreat, please contact our office administrator. And now the SJBA Sunday Dharma School SDS 2015 is now open for student registration online, effective 1st November 2014. The Buddhist classes will be conducted in 3 sessions as follows. Session A, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Session B, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Session C, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Classes will commence on Sunday, 4th January 2015. For more information, kindly contact Sister Lily at 03-5631-5299 or email office@sgba.org. Classes are open to children in Standard 1 to Form 3. And this morning's Dharma talk is on the benefits of cultivating the Buddha Dharma. The speaker is Brother Teo Kian Kun. Brother Teo Kian Kun graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with all who are keen in the search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering to become a more virtuous, noble and wiser human being. He gives talks and home meditation and Dharma classes at various meditation centers. Brothers and sisters in the Dharma, please welcome Brother Teo Kian Kun.
Testing. Higher a bit, volume. The volume higher a bit. Slightly higher. Okay. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you all can hear me? Can, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much for the kind introduction. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So this morning, I will share with you all a very simple but very important topic. The title is The Benefits of Cultivating the Buddha Dharma. This is one topic that I felt not many temple or way place have really developed the understanding to promote it, so that as fellow Buddhists, we can actually understand how these great benefits that comes with the cultivation of the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha Dharma can actually come about. And more important is how can we develop the cultivation. Because if you were to check your background, most of us, we just came to temple because usually, not all, we have problems, then we try to come. Or once a year, Vesak day, we come. Then sometimes because of curiosity, you come. Then when you come, most of the time, nobody really explained to you what this teaching is all about. Then as Buddhists, we are more subject to what they call the Chinese tradition of rites and ritual that our parents used to do. That's why we carry joss sticks. We see our parents, most of our parents who were the early generation, they do a lot of things that you find it not really so convincing. Then a lot of people may have the idea that this is superstition. Even when I was young, I didn't know what the Dhamma was all about until when I came across one very important book written by our late Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda, who passed away many years ago. He wrote this book, What Buddhists Believe. Because early years, when I saw what my mother did, he likes to go to Chinese temple to make offering. Then, as usual, pay respect, make prayer, and ask for favor from all the dainties and the great beings. Then she always recite, he said, he hoped the dainties or the great beings like Buddha, Kuan Yin, all those things, can help protect the family, bless the family, then help to keep them in good health, then study well, all those things, then recover from sickness and all those things. Then if this thing comes about, she will promise to come back to make more offering. And sometimes I saw what she offered. She liked to offer the slaughtered chicken and all those things. Then I was thinking, well, if this is Buddhism, I may not want to understand what this teaching is, because you can negotiate on. Then involve killing and all those things. But later on, I came to know through this book, What Buddhists Believe, Chief Reverend, is that all this that our mother or parents did, they are more of Chinese traditional practice, or what they call feng shui in Mandarin. These are Chinese traditions, more of Chinese tradition, and some of these are so-called mix between Taoist practice and certain type of old tradition carried down, because they are not educated, they are not within the spiritual field. So a lot of these practices has actually become what it was during that time. Then when I saw what Chief Reverend wrote, I got a lot of joy, because I never investigated into the Buddhist teaching until after I read the book. Then, as I moved down into the teaching which Chief Reverend wrote, I saw the Four Noble Truths. The moment I saw that Four Noble Truths, very strange. That was 1971. 71, 43 years ago. Immediately my heart understood what that message was. Then tell me, no need to search already. This is the one. There is no other teaching that can summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, everything, into just four noble truths. So beautiful. That's why from that moment onward, my life changed tremendously. Then when I start to understand through my own search and cultivation, later on, because of condition, I encounter many teachers, many guides, and many great beings. I don't know them, most of them. They just come. So because of that, I came to develop this understanding over the years. Then I have been sharing this understanding for the last 10 years. Quite actively. And because of that, I felt that this message should be conveyed to the Buddhist community so that people understand, so that we as Buddhists, we can be proud of what we are doing, because there are great benefits for cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. When you start to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, which is the teachings of the Buddha, you develop great understanding of life. You develop great wisdom. And through the understanding and wisdom, you know how to live life. And you will understand why people who don't have this understanding become afflicted, become miserable, because they don't understand this teaching. Therefore, they don't understand all of the laws that governs all of life and existence. And because of that failure, they couldn't understand why life can be so difficult at times. How come there is so much suffering and misery in this world? How come they have to confront life in such difficult ways? Initially, some of us, as we go through life, if you are born with better condition, maybe you are more lucky. You don't face so much difficulty, suffering when you are young, because you are more blessed. You have better merits. You are born with a lot of good coming inheritance. That's why your life are more conducive, more fortunate. But even though you may be born in a better environment, better family, better condition, but as you move into life, you start to experience many, many situations that can still bring about a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. Excuse me. That's why you come to experience, as you move through life, as you grew up from a child into a student, then from a student we move into the career field. We start to work. Then as we work, we encounter many issues, career problem, relationship problem, financial or money problem. So all this starts to manifest. Then as we work harder, we confront a lot of stress and so on, a lot of work pressure. Then at times, many of the younger generation, because they are so pampered and so what they call fortunate during their younger days, they are the second generation kid. They don't have much survival skill. So they couldn't take all this stress, pressure. So what they did is, they couldn't face it. They tried to run away from it. And some of them, they fall into depression. Even nowadays, it's very common to see all these young graduates facing a lot of career problems. Then sometimes because they are so used to using money, they don't know how to make money. They don't know how to earn a proper living. So they go through life juggling credit card, then having problem with loans, credit card bills, and all those things. Then there are many things that they want to have, but they don't have the means. And they don't understand what life is. So because of that, there's a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. Then later on, as they grow older, like some of us, you start to see our parents, our grandparents, going through old age, sickness, and death. You start to confront more and more of these realities of life and existence. Then most of us, without the Dhamma initially, doesn't know how to cope with all this reality. That's why the Buddha, he taught this Four Noble Truths, which are like the secret of life. When you understand this Four Noble Truths, as you go into the cultivation, you will develop a lot of great understanding and wisdom. And this is the most important teaching that you should learn. Because the essence of the Buddha's teaching is this Four Noble Truths. Eh? So maybe I will write it down so that you can understand better. The Buddha said, our whole universe, all of life, you can summarize into just Four Noble Truths. And it will explain to you clearly what life is all about. All of the mundane and supramundane aspects of life. So this understanding can bring about a lot of wisdom, understanding, that can transform you completely. So that you know how to live life. So that you know how to accord with all these noble truths that can enable you to develop the wisdom to confront all of this life reality or situation so that you are not afflicted by it. So that your life can transform into one of uncertainty, into one of misery, suffering, into a new type of life which is completely free of suffering, full of peace, full of understanding, full of love, compassion, equanimity, stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness and silence, peace within. Peace is very difficult to come by. Huh? So this First Noble Truth, the Buddha explained about the realities of life and existence. But a lot of Buddhists has this misconception. Because they always tell me, First Noble Truth, what is it that you understand? They always tell me life is suffering. You agree or not? Do you agree? The Buddha never say life is suffering. He said, First Noble Truth, there is a noble truth that talks about the realities of life and existence, explaining to you clearly what suffering is. Understand that? Means there is a noble truth that explains to you clearly what suffering is. And suffering comes from these realities of life and existence. No matter who you are, how wealthy, how famous, or how powerful you may hold a position in life, but you cannot escape this reality. The Buddha said there are eight realities. There are eight realities. The first four you heard before, I think. Birth, old age, sickness and death. All living beings, regardless of how powerful and wealthy you are, we have to confront them. So when you are confronted with birth, old age, sickness and death, if the condition is favorable and you have the wisdom and the understanding, then you can cope. You will be okay. But most human beings, without this understanding of this noble truth, they cannot cope. They will attach and cling to this human, so-called human being, or the Buddha call it the physical form and the mind, form and mind, the five aggregates of form and mind. Then they will be afflicted, they will become miserable. Especially as you start to experience birth that has complication. Then you start to experience getting old with a lot of problem. Nowadays it's very common. You see our grandparents, our parents, as they get age, many things start to happen. Their senses fail them, their organs fail them, they develop more and more disease and sickness. So from old age, it will lead to disease and sickness. Then you have situations like Alzheimer's and all those things, stroke, cancer and all those things. And it can be very traumatic when you confront them without understanding. And also the medical bill can be something that is very, very difficult to endure. Then sometimes due to nature's disaster, accident, calamity, or what, it can also bring about what they call sudden separation, like death. So these realities can afflict living beings, the Buddha said. If you don't understand them and don't develop the wisdom before you confront them, you will have a lot of suffering. Then after that, the Buddha moved on to the second noble truth. He said, all of this suffering, there's a cause behind. All suffering. And the cause is craving. Your craving, your desire, born of your foolishness, your delusion, your lack of understanding of who you are, what you are, and what the nature's law that governs life and existence is all about. The reality of life and existence that can lead to suffering. So this is the first noble truth. Then the second noble truth explains to you clearly what suffering is. So just now I touched on only the first four realities, birth, old age, sickness and death. The next one is separation. Separation from loved ones, from our possession, our wealth, our career, things that we hold on to dearly. Separation can happen in a few ways. One of them is death. The other one is relationship failure, like divorce, misunderstanding that leads to conflict, argument, then you separate. The other one is due to economic crisis, or you make a bad decision, a bad call in your investment, or in whatever you invest in. When separation occurs, it can actually bring about a lot of traumatic experience, a lot of misery, a lot of suffering, sorrow and depression. Then the Buddha said the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like, situation that you don't like to be in. They call it dilemma. Then people who are very difficult, like very aggressive person, bullies. Even in your career field, you have certain bosses or superior who are not easy to manage or deal with. We heard of this, what they call CEO or bosses who like to put pressure and harass staff. They go and learn what they call management by harassment and fear. They put fear in you and they harass you to deliver. So these are people you find very difficult to be with. So suffering will be the result when you cannot cope with this type of situation. Then even the student in the school, they have to sometimes confront very fierce teachers, and also bullies and all those things. So these are people whom you may not like, okay? Then there are also the seven condition or reality that Buddha talked about. In life, you got a lot of expectation. Is it? When your expectation are not met, you expect your boss to promote you, but never come. They promote another colleague. Then you expect your brothers and sisters to understand you, to love you. Your parents to love you, to care for you. Your children to be filial piety to you. But it doesn't materialize. So when your expectations are not met, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, the Buddha said, your mind reacts to it and you become unhappy. Then it can force you to go into severe unhappiness that can lead to depression and all those things. Even relationship failure can cause depression. Some even suicidal tendency. So financial problem also can cause that. So this seven reality we will definitely confront as we go through life. Then the Buddha summarized all of suffering, is it? Excuse me. He said, in short, it is due to our delusion, our lack of understanding of who we are, what we are, and what are the laws that govern life and existence. Because we don't understand the Buddha Dhamma, the secret of life. That's why we let ourselves into this trouble, is it? We deludedly grasp and cling on to this so-called human form and mind, or what we call the five aggregate of form and mind. Grasping onto it, holding on to it, will cause you suffering, the Buddha said. You heard of the five aggregate of form and mind, eh? The first aspect is as a human being. You have a physical form. This is the first aggregate. Then you have a mind. A mind that can feel, that can think, that can perceive, and arise all the various types of views, opinion, and consciousness. So these are the other four aggregates. So in Pali, it's called Rupa Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Yeah. Or in English, it's called the form, the physical form, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. These five, he said, if you grasp and cling, suffering will be the result. Take for example our physical body. If you think this is you, belongs to you, what will happen? We will develop the fear, the worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Correct or not? But if you know it is not you, it's only element, no knowing can ever be you, then you confidently use it to live life so that you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die. Understand that? But because your consciousness is trapped inside, anything happen to this physical form, you experience it in the mind, consciousness. That's why you attach, you cling. You cannot actually develop the wisdom to understand what is going on. Then the Buddha said, all of your mind aggregate, feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness, views, opinion, everything, they are actually just like this physical form. They are impermanent. If you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. He said, the moment you penetrate this understanding, you are not deluded, then you can free your mind from the first noble truth. So now, after understanding these two, first and second noble truth, you will develop great wisdom because you will know how to manage your life. Understand not? When you know what are the things that cause suffering, and when you know what are the realities of life and existence that you need to confront and develop the wisdom so that you don't suffer, you will know how to manage your life better, Karana, as compared to somebody who doesn't know the Buddha Dhamma. They will develop a lot of suffering. Then the other thing is, the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be. Freedom from suffering is possible. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, is possible if you develop the wisdom. This is a very important understanding. When we have this understanding, then you can go on to the next noble truth, which is the fourth noble truth. The Buddha, there is a way that can lead to the end of suffering. Yeah? Namely, the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah? Way out of suffering. He said, you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. So when you understand this Noble Eightfold Path, if you cultivate, it leads to the end of suffering. It leads to the realization of Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and the now. Yeah, and this is possible. So because of that, we will see the great benefits of cultivating this understanding of the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, that can lead to a lot of wisdom, that can actually liberate our mind and free us from all these realities of life and existence. Then you will start to develop what they call understanding of life. And when you understand life, you know how to live life. Means you don't have to worry about life. You can truly live. Live life with confidence, with great understanding. So now I finish the first part of what the Buddha Dhamma is all about and what is it that you have to cultivate. Now I will go into the benefits of it, eh? And how we can actually cultivate it. Otherwise it remains as theory, understand? So the first way to cultivate is the Buddha talked about the five daily contemplation. He said we have to contemplate every day. Yeah? That can bring about great wisdom and understanding to free our mind from the first noble truth reality. The first three concern the physical body, he said. This body of ours, he said, you need to contemplate it daily, make up of element only. There is no knowing, cannot be you. So he said, this form, physical body, it will go the way of nature. So he said, the first contemplation is, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, decay. For he has not gone beyond old age and decay. And this is a reality. Not only we go through and experience, every living being or human being that live long enough will experience decay, getting old. So when you experience them with understanding, you need not become miserable. You need not become unhappy. You need not be afflicted by it. And that is the contemplation. Of course, you must combine with meditation later on to understand its deep meaning. Then the second and the third is also related to the body. He said, this body of ours is also of the nature to be diseased and get sick when condition is no more favorable. For it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. So that we know how to confront them. When there is this disease and sickness, we will know how to confront them without having to react to them or project our thought to develop the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Like the Buddha said, when your body is sick, don't allow your mind also to be sick. How does the mind get sick? Because the mind that don't understand will develop all the foolish projection and reaction. Take for example, suddenly somebody checked with the doctor, then diagnosed they got cancer, maybe third stage, fourth stage. So actually body already sick, understand not? So what must you do? Most human beings doesn't know how to confront this reality. Because the first thing they do is they worry, understand not? Then they project their thought. Then that thought will say, what if you cannot cope and you have to die within a very short period because you heard of cancer very fast. Then that fear actually create more negative energy field, break your immune system down and make you miserable. Then you're scared that your loved one may come to know about it, your friend, your office colleague or your company may come to know and you may lose your job. But these are all not reality. These are all what your thought project. So that's why the thought, through its own foolishness and delusion, will project. And this moment, which is the only reality in life, you cannot understand, and you go and project your thought and develop the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, you doesn't know how to live life. You allow this fear, worry, anxiety to grasp and grip you and make you miserable. So this is the wrong way of confronting it. The right way is after you have reflected and contemplated, then you realize this body goes the way of nature. Not only I get sick, everybody gets sick. So what must I do? I must confront it with understanding. Then I ask myself, what are my options? What can I do? How can I resolve this amicably so that I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry, so that I can still have the good life, so that I can still move on? If you have this type of right contemplation and understanding with the Buddha Dhamma behind you to guide you, then you don't have to have the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety conditioned by your delusion through thought projection. Then you tell yourself, if I need to have a second opinion, I go for second opinion. If I need to check with the internet or friend and colleague who have this understanding of how to confront this and recover, then I check. If I accept that this body is of this nature, then my mind has clarity. My mind does not project. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. So body is sick, but mind need not be sick. Then I ask myself, how can I recover? My immune system can only be boosted if I do something. Understand not? So if I go into the Buddha Dharma and check, the Buddha actually got teached. He said, you can train your mind. Develop inner peace and inner well-being, so that all this fear, worry, anxiety, negative energy field all can disappear. Then your immune system can recover, because these are good energy field, good vibration, as opposed to all the fear, worry, anxiety, which has negative vibration. So you do a lot of metta. You develop heedfulness. You train your mind. You develop the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to counter the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, and doubt. So all this is very positive. Then when you start to do that and you have more and more inner peace, inner calmness, leading to inner well-being, just when you read it, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness within your own physical body and form. Each and every cells of it will have this positive vibration. And these cells become healthy. Your immune system will be elevated. Then you can actually recover. And your mind state become wholesome, beautiful. This is how slowly you can actually overcome all this. Then the third contemplation is to reflect on what they call this body again. This body is not you. Condition arising. When the condition is favorable, it sustains itself like you exist. But when conditions cease to be, the Buddha said, it will cease to be. That's why he said you reflect. This body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. So the first three contemplations, old age, sickness and death, once you reflect, contemplate, you can confront them with wisdom and you need not suffer. And you can actually face all this reality with a lot of understanding and joy. That's why you must know how to die, the real die, before you die. Yeah? Can you laugh at the dead? Or smile before you die? If you can do that, means you have a lot of understanding and wisdom. You can cope with life very well. Then the fourth contemplation is, the Buddha said, to reflect on all the other realities of separation. Is it whatever that we think we own, our loved ones, our possession, our wealth, our money, things that we hold on to dearly, they are all condition arising. They are of the nature to arise when condition is there. But the moment condition ceases to be, they will disappear and separate from you. So this separation, if you reflect and contemplate deep into it, and you know how they become yours, and how when condition ceases to be, they will cease to be yours. So this can happen in two ways. Either this loved one or the thing that you hold on to dearly pass away before you, or when your breath stops, you separate from them. Either way, it has to happen. And this is a life reality. You cannot avoid. If you want things your way and refuse to accept this reality, the Buddha said, suffering will be the result. So this fourth contemplation can help you a lot, so that you know how to make use of what you have while they are still around. Like your loved one, your parents. Love them while you're still around and when they are still around. Don't go and cry and lament after they pass away. Understand? That is foolishness, sorrow, lamentation, suffering. Like the Buddha said, even his own son, in one of the early birth as a bodhisattva, passed away. He never lament. He only have this understanding, is it? When people ask, why don't you cry? He answered, is it? Whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. What has been born into this world has ceased to be. Means referring to the sun, is it? No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead, means already dead. Then why you go and cry and lament and make yourself so miserable and unhappy? You do what you have to do, understand? So these are understanding that you can develop that can bring about great wisdom. Then the last one is very important. This will bring us to the other aspect of cultivation. The last one is about law of karma, the fifth contemplation. Fifth contemplation. Law of karma. The Buddha said you have to reflect. He said this law of karma is a nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And 99.99% of your fate, your life, depend on karma, is it? Because he said there is a very powerful law. Law, moral causation, involving the mental, the spiritual. He said we are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma. Conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand that karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? What must you do? Yeah? You must take care of karma, is it? Correct? True or not? This law of karma is very powerful. Yeah, you are born of it. You inherit everything. You are conditioned and supported by it every moment, every instant. And you are what you are because of it. You cannot blame anybody for what happened to you in your life. You cannot say, why is God so unfair? Why is God only so unfair to you and not to others? We are in the past, what you did, you never know. And this law of karma also said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. When you understand this, what must you do? You have to be very, very heedful of karma. Isn't it? Then how do you actually take care of karma? So this is how the cultivation part comes in. The Buddha said,
If you want to take care of karma, there are a few things that you must do. Because karma is a very powerful law, is it? If you want to have the good life, because you reap what you sow, you must do good. That's a law. If you want to avoid the negativity of karma, you have to avoid all evil. So this advice of avoiding all evil, do good, come from what? Come from this right view, understand? So this fifth contemplation is the first right view within the Noble Eightfold Path. First right view within Noble Eightfold Path. And because it's the first right view, the moment you have this right view, you will know how to live life, the Buddha said. That's why Dhammapada verse 183, the Buddha's famous advice. He said, as a Buddhist, to be worthy of him, you must at least heed his advice. Follow his advice to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma accordingly. You have it written on your wall on the inside. Huh? All evil you need to avoid. Whatever goodness, wholesomeness you can do, if there's condition to do, you must do. Then the last advice is to purify your mind, to meditate, to develop wisdom, so that you are not afflicted by the first noble truth reality. And this famous saying, I think you all heard about it before. Huh? The Pali version is Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyottapanam etang buddhana sasana. So the Buddha said, this is the advice of all Buddhas. All Sammasambuddha, when they come, they will give you the same advice. It comes from this right view with regards to law of karma. So the first advice is to avoid all evil. How do you do that? When it comes to cultivation, how do you avoid evil? First, you must understand what is evil, isn't it? Correct or not? What are evil? The Buddha taught the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots. Remember? Greed, hatred, and delusion. Whatever mind state that has greed, selfishness, craving, lust, desire, these are all within the evil roots of greed. They are evil roots, roots of all evil. If you have this mind state or this mental state or mental intention within your mind, then you are an evil person. Then you will commit evil. You will violate the precept. You will bring about negative karma. The second evil root is ill will. Anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, dislike, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. All these are the evil roots of anger. So you must not have jealousy, you must not have ill will, you must not have hatred, unhappy mental states. Because they are the root of all evil. You become evil, you become violent. You can kill, you can harm, you can violate all the precepts. The last one is delusion. Delusion is the worst. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness, they are born of these evil roots of delusion. In Pali, it's called lobha, dosa, and moha. Okay? So when you understand this essential dhamma of greed, hatred, and delusion, you will know how to cope with avoiding evil. Then we look at the teaching. What did the Buddha advise to avoid all evil apart from understanding these three evil roots? You have to train your mind, isn't it? To be ever mindful of the mental intention behind these three evil roots. So under Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha mentioned clearly, is it? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. whereas the heedless are accepted. Means you have to train your mind to be ever mindful, to be heedful, so that you can actually develop the ability to see your mental intention, so that when the evil roots are there, you root it out. You arise the four right effort to deal with them. So this is how you cultivate. And also before the Buddha's Parinibbana, he mentioned the advice to all the monks. Apamadena sampadeta. Means what? He told the monk, you only need to do one thing to ensure enlightenment. Strive on with heedfulness. Again, be heedful. Never be heedless. So if you are a cultivator of the Buddha Dhamma, you will be ever heedful, ever mindful. Your mind will be always peaceful, calm, silent and aware within. Your mind will not have the hindrance of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor. All this negative mind state hindrance no more. Instead, you will have what they call the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sati is mindfulness. When you are mindful, you are heedful, you are aware without thought. So all this is how you develop the understanding to cultivate. Then like your puja just now, you start with what? You start with all the salutation. That's why you pay respect. You chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. You must understand the meaning. You pay homage to the Buddha. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. He is blessed with great wisdom and virtue. He is an Arahant, fully enlightened one, Sama Sambuddha, worthy of respect, reverential salutation, offering, and hospitality, all those things. So all this, when you understand, when you do it with understanding, you develop great merits. Merits are like what they call spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth that nobody can steal. Spiritual blessings. They are very, very strong, very powerful. They take care of you. Because these are all the meritorious actions that you can cultivate. In our society, a similar equivalent is like you work very hard, you strive very hard sincerely, then you develop a lot of wealth, money, yeah, and what they call possession. These are like your spiritual equivalent of spiritual wealth, but it's materialistic wealth. And with all this money, wealth, and all those that you earn through proper means, you can make use of them to have good life, understand? To have good materialistic life and to help others and to help your loved one and yourself. So in a similar way, all these spiritual merits and blessings that you cultivate through cultivating the Buddha Dhamma can be of great benefits to you, can help you in many ways. You can make use of it to make aspiration to have your wish come true. So coming back to the precepts, after you pay respect to the Buddha, you chant the salutation, you take refuge, understand not? You take refuge in Buddha Dhamma in the Sangha. And the reason why you take refuge, you must understand, that it brings about causes and conditions for you to connect to this triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, whenever they arise. When there is condition for you to meet up with them. Because you take refuge, you will create the affinity for you to meet. Whatever life you arise as a human being or living being, wherever there is the Buddha, there is the Dhamma and the Sangha, it will pave the way for you to have affinity to meet. That's why you must take refuge with understanding. Then after that, you renew your five precepts. This is where avoiding evil comes. The Buddha advised you to keep your five precepts is out of love and compassion for you, so that you do not foolishly make mistakes. These five precepts, if you investigate into it, you will come to realize Whosoever violate these five precepts, they are evil people with the evil roots. And when you understand this, then you know the significance of precept. You know why you have to keep, and you know why it's not worthwhile to violate. It's not that the Buddha is trying to give you more things to do or make life difficult for you. No, it's out of love and compassion for you. Take for example the first precept that you all chant. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. What does it mean? You realize or not, every precept got this word. Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. You must learn the meaning of this. The Buddha said, not only abstain from killing. The Buddha said, this precept, you have to undertake the training rule. Means you take this precept with an understanding. I undertake the training rule to abstain from causing harm and killing of fellow living beings. Who are the people who kill and cause harm to fellow living beings? Who are the people? You only have violent, angry, selfish people. Correct or not? People with motive. Understand not? Selfishness. Then sometimes people who has delusion. So the three evil roots are selfishness, anger, hatred, violence, and delusion. They are all there. That's why they violate this precept. If you don't have this evil root, you will not violate. So you check the other precepts, second, third, fourth, and fifth. They are all with the evil roots. Otherwise, it won't violate the precept. So, five precepts. These are the advice of the Buddha administered to you, to the ladies. You have to keep minimum five so that you can follow his first advice of avoiding all evil. Then because you use the word I undertake to abstain, means you undertake to abstain, not to kill or cause to kill. Understand? Not? Means you have to be ever mindful. If you are not heedful and mindful, you don't train your mind to have that clarity and mindfulness, you cannot keep precepts. That's why this is the first advice. Then after that, what you do? You do all the other important chanting, all of your offering, significance of offering of flower, water, clear light, then incense, fruits, and all those things. When you reflect and contemplate, then you invoke the power of wholesomeness, you rejoice, there's a lot of merits that come with it. So offering is generosity. It is a meritorious action. Then you keep your precept. It's a meritorious action. So dana, sila. Then you meditate for 5 minutes, loving kindness or whatever. Another meritorious action. Then you pay respect earlier on. It's another meritorious action. Then you listen to Dhamma. Then you straighten your views. These are all meritorious actions. Then you transfer and share merits later on the closing puja. Then you come to temple to help, you provide service. These are all meritorious actions. Then you help to distribute books and all those things, give of truth. And you sometimes share the Dhamma. So all these are 10 meritorious actions that can bring about a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits. And these are like your spiritual wealth of great benefits to you. And your mind state are so beautiful as compared to when you are at home, not doing all this religious puja or devotional practice. That's why the first cultivation is through puja. Unknowingly, you cultivate the 10 meritorious action and you develop the 5 spiritual faculty. You maintain faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you develop virya, which is the second spiritual faculty, to walk this way, to cultivate this Dhamma. Then you pay respect mindfully. You cultivate mindfulness, awareness, the third spiritual faculty. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi, the unwavering mind, the collected and unwavering mind. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, because upon sense experience, sense contact, your mind is collected and unwavering. It does not stir, it does not move. It can see things as they are. Then you develop wisdom, understanding, the last spiritual faculty. That's how you awaken. That's how you develop the understanding of the teaching. So these five spiritual faculty of Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya, you cultivate appropriately through all the puja and your meditative understanding, through the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma, you will develop them. Then you become a beautiful living being, a true Buddhist who has the spiritual faculty to understand the spiritual teaching. Then because of the law of karma, you reap what you sow. You have goodness, you have wholesomeness. You use the five spiritual faculty, especially sati, to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then you become a totally different person with great personality and character. A person with noble eightfold path will have right view. Right view regards to the law of karma, the four noble truths, the second right view. And the third one is how your mind functions as a living being, as a human being, dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca samuppada. So these three right views will allow you to cultivate the right thought, the appropriate right thought, then right speech, right action, then right livelihood. Then you will have all the right effort to purify your thought and your mind. Then you will also have the right sati or samadhi, hence covering all the full Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. A person with Noble Eightfold Path cultivated can become enlightened being. They are called noble ones. Then from a heedless, deluded being, you become a noble, enlightened being. Your life will transform from a heedless way of living with a lot of suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation, and lack of understanding of what is life, to one that is full of understanding of what is life. The noble life of an enlightened one that is always full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, full of understanding, full of inner peace and inner well-being, full of clarity of mind, full of understanding to live life, to understand life, so that you can experience all of the beauties and wonders of life without having to worry about life anymore. And life can be so meaningful, so that you don't have to suffer anymore, so that you don't have to shed any more tears in life, so that you can have a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of joy, and a lot of happiness, so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you need not foolishly be conditioned into negativity and become afflicted and miserable anymore. So these are all the possibility and great benefits of cultivating this understanding, this so-called Buddha Dharma. Yeah. So with this, maybe I will end my talk. Then if you got any question, you can ask. Okay. Thank you so much for your patience. Yeah. You got any question? Ingbi is here. If you got any question, you all can ask.
Anybody has any question? Please, just raise.
You need me to elaborate on any other part also, you can. So far, is it clear? Can you follow? For those who are new, maybe not so easy. Ah yes, can pass the mic to her. Ah yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, our sister want to know that there is a Noble Eightfold Path factor where they call right livelihood. So this particular path factor, it has been there in the text for very long. But from my cultivation, the way I understand it is, it should be right living. Understand not? Right living. Livelihood means what you depend on to live your life. Understand not? It's like your career. So in the text, most of the time it's explained as you must avoid those livelihoods that are not appropriate. Understand not? What are the livelihoods that are not appropriate? Huh? What are they? Selling of arms, weapon, drug, becoming excessive, yeah? And whatever livelihood that involve killing and causing negativity to fellow living beings. So this they say is wrong livelihood. But what the Buddha meant under this factor is right living. Understand not? Right living. You know the difference or not? Means the way you live your life, it must be in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Not only what you do. So this right livelihood is very important. If you live your life in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path, means you have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and you constantly cultivate the four right effort, and you develop sati or mindfulness, right mindfulness and samadhi. So what will happen to you? Because your livelihood is also appropriate because you have all this mindfulness. Right living will cover right livelihood. Understand not? And because you live your life in accordance with the other Noble Eightfold Path factor, you become beautiful. Understand not? So you only need to encounter a spiritual cultivator or an enlightened being. And because you have right livelihood, you got no negativity. Your thought, your action, your speech are in accordance. You are very pleasant. You are very kind. You are very sincere. You have all the appropriate right speech and right action and right thought. And because of that, your character, your personality are so wholesome. There is a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness. Then all these enlightened beings, they will know. Then when they see that you know how to actually cultivate the Buddha Dharma, they will rejoice. Understand not? And when they rejoice with your wholesomeness, they will send back this merit to you. They will say, by the power of this wholesomeness, may your noble and what they call happy wishes be realized soon as possible. Understand? Then you receive in return a lot of what they call wholesome condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma and to receive all the goodness in life. That's why all of your noble, good and noble wishes will be fulfilled because of all this condition. So right living is very important. If you live your life in accordance, not only livelihood, the way you live your life, you must have the Noble Eightfold Path factor to guide you. The three right views with regards to the law of karma, Four Noble Truth, and how you function as a human being, how your mind works, the dependent origination, the paticca-samubbana. When you have these three right view, you will have a lot of understanding, great wisdom. And because of that, you will condition the very beautiful right thought, very wholesome. Without the right view being cultivated and understood, you cannot cultivate right thought. Technically, you cannot. Because right thought is you never ask, right according to who? Right according to you before you have the wisdom is based on your views and opinion. And most of these are still with all the evil roots of selfishness, emotional negativity, and delusion. So that's why you cannot cultivate all the other Noble Eightfold Path without getting the first path factor correct. Samadhi, right view. If your views are wrong, what will happen to your thought? Your thought will be wrong, isn't it? Your view condition how you act, speak, and think, isn't it? That's why you don't have right view, you cannot have right thought. You don't have right view, you cannot have right speech. You don't have right view, you cannot act appropriately to have right action. So right view is most important. Only when you have right view, all the other path factor fall into place. That's why right livelihood should be right living. That's enough. When you have the right understanding as to how to live life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path, and then this path factor become very powerful. And I realize very few people know how to cultivate this path factor. Where they thought by avoiding all the wrong livelihood, they cultivate this path factor. No. Because this life, I came to realize a lot of beings benefited through this path factor because they have goodness. They have kindness, they have generosity, they have contentment, they have wholesomeness, they have a lot of this inherent virtue that they cultivate in the path. And when they meet enlightened being, the condition is such that they receive a lot of pure wish, blessings, without them knowing. That's how many living beings, when you have goodness, wholesomeness, when you have Noble Eightfold Path factor and you live your life accordingly, that life, right living path factor can bring forth great condition for you to move, to progress along the path of Dhamma very easily. That's why it's not difficult. You only need to encounter every life at least one of these beautiful beings. Then like in Cantonese, they say you fatat already. You already very lucky. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay, sadhu. Anybody else got any question or not? Don't worry about your question. You can ask anything. As long as you really want to understand, you can clarify. What about this lady in white? You are nothing? If you want to ask, you can ask. What about you? You smile so much. You got any question? Yes. Pass the mic. Yeah. Long enough. Not? Oh, they don't. Oh, never mind. You speak, then I... Oh, okay. What is your question about fortune telling? Oh, you want to know whether they are correct practice or not, huh? Okay. That is a good question. She wants to know whether fortune telling and feng shui, whether they are correct practices or not. But please, before I answer, don't go and think that I try to pour cold water into all these practices, please. I just explained to you from my own understanding and the Buddhist point of view. Understand? We are not here to say anything negative about any practice. But there are people who believe strongly in fortune telling and feng shui too. Understand? It is up to people because they have different understanding. So there is no right and no wrong. Actually, whether you get involved in this or not depends on your karma. Understand? In the past, you have been fortune teller, then you have been feng shui master. But if you are the sincere one, you don't worry. Understand? Then you come, you will meet the sincere feng shui master and the sincere fortune teller who can help you. But if you are the one that deceive and cheat and swindle and misappropriate and abuse all this so-called livelihood or skill, then karmically you end up as a victim to them. Then you don't blame anybody else for what happened. So coming back to the Buddhist point of view, the Buddha did tell the monk not to get themselves involved with all this feng shui thing or fortune telling, understand? Because it doesn't help you in the spiritual path. Whatever that is the past is already gone, understand? Future yet to come. Focus on the moment, the reality in life. Develop wisdom and understanding to free your mind. No amount of all this, what they call fortune telling, or will help you. Say, wow, past life you what? You're supposed to be very lucky, you're supposed to inherit what? What will it do to you? It make you what? Feel good, complacent, and say, oh, feng shui master say I very lucky this year. Then fortune teller say I will inherit a lot of wealth. So you sit in the house and wait every day. Or what happens is when things don't go your way, then you go and check the feng shui master. Say, how come you predict that I should receive wealth never come? Then he say, I check for you. Oh, your house got problem. You need to change this, change that. You incur more renovation. Then after that, again doesn't work. Why? Because the law is law of karma. Understand? You don't take care of karma, no amount of feng shui can help you. Understand? I give you one example, you understand. I always use this example. Well, my mother always believed in all these things. Then I told her, I said, Mom, come, you sit down, we talk. I said, you came from China, isn't it? Your forefather, my grandparents, same feng shui there, isn't it? Correct or not? So because same feng shui, if you are blessed, you come over to Malaysia, dad also come over, and we also come over, we are very blessed. Then how come your brother, your sister all suffer in China? I said. Then she looked at me. Then I said, not only that, I said, you got 9 children, I said, all born from the same womb, same parent, same locality. How come 9 of us all different? Some very tall, some very short, some full of hair, some no hair. Some can study very well, some cannot study. Some got Dhamma, the rest don't have Dhamma. How come they are like that? I said, nothing to do with feng shui. Everything to do with karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. If you believe in feng shui and all those things, then you get your mind entangled more and more. It doesn't mean feng shui doesn't exist. Please, don't get me wrong. There is such thing as a science for feng shui. But this one, actually, if you understand, it helps you in a very small way only. What is feng shui? Man and nature must harmonize. There is such thing as the forces of nature, the qi that move within nature. So feng shui science teach about the nature's balance. Man and nature must have balance. You must not go against this nature's qi flow. Otherwise you get yourself into trouble. But then they never understand that karma play a much bigger role. Understand not? Karma is almost everything. Like the Buddha said, you are born of it, here to it, conditions supported by it. You are what you are because of it. But feng shui has its basis. Understand not? Because the yin and the yang, the qi flow. So if you are a feng shui master, you know how to stay in a place that have good qi and avoid a place that have negative qi, means what? You delay the ripening of your bad karma, understand not? Because you avoid them to good condition, understand not? Karma is like that. No condition, it don't arise. But what are you doing if every night you come, you make use of feng shui to help it? Let's say you are a genuine expert feng shui master. Every night you come, you know how to avoid. But you must know, you know, the planet, Mother Earth, is always on the move, understand? Or? In a state of flux, understand? Rotating, and with the forces multi-acting. That's why they say different year, different feng shui, understand? Or? Different time, different feng shui. But the problem is, if you don't understand, you become gullible. You just believe. I can tell you my own experience. They say live in junction house. Sui, yeah? Correct not? Correct not? Live in junction house, you heard of it or not? Huh? Bad luck. I live in junction house in the year 1980 something to 90. Oh, I was very lucky. I was so blessed. I got promoted at a recession time. I got promoted. But those who don't have the luck, man, get into trouble. I stay SS2, one of the house, Road Junction. You know what is Road Junction or not? Because it's a flow path of energy, understand? There is a road in front of your house, understand? So nature's chi forces, they flow. Just like river. If your open channel is very big, all the water will flow down, understand not? So this open pathway, which is the road, is also a flow path of energy. All the chi, good and bad, come. Then your house there, understand not? Block, understand not? Your junction, understand not? Hit. So what happened? Good and bad come, understand not? If you don't have the good karma, the good chi you cannot take. Understand not? They in Cantonese say sao mhe ya, understand not? Means good one you cannot take, but negative one most people got one. You kena upside down. That's why junction how most people cannot stay on. You sure kena upside down, unless you got cultivation. Then different. Oh, then me and my wife very blessed. You know? We stay junction how I get promoted. I got the best of everything that year. Oh, everything go my way. Oh. Then how you explain? Then when I surrender back that house which I rented, where I bought my own house in 1987. You know, 84, 85, 86 was a recession, isn't it? Severe recession, isn't it? Remember? People, professional like civil engineer, my colleague, some, they were out of job for 2 years, you know. New graduate, no salary also, they want to work for you, you know. You remember not? Architect got one came to my office and worked without salary. He said, just give her a table to get some experience. That was so bad, no? 84, 85, 86. I was so lucky, you know. I was in a statutory body. I get promoted to super scale during that time. And that was the only time as a government servant, my salary higher than private sector. Because they all cut pay, cut pay, cut pay, cut pay. Then a lot of things went my way. That's why I bought that house in the recession. Then what happened when I moved? Another owner came in. I tell you, he really don't have good karma. He got one fish, they call Kam Long Yi. Very expensive one, very big one. He said easily in the market people offer him 20,000 to buy. I saw so beautiful. Oh, I said, you're very blessed. Yeah, he said, I love this fish a lot. 3 days later, I go and collect my letter, mail. I saw the aquarium, no more fish. I asked him why. He started scolding the wife. He said, my wife, I go and spray mortine. Then cockroach eat, jump inside the fish tank, the fish eat, the fish also floated. See? Then after that, the son got compound fracture and all that. Then I look at him, I said, you believe in junction house or not? He looked at me. You know. He said, you mean you stay also got problem? I said, I stay got no problem. I stay, I am very lucky. But I said, you believe, you better take care of your karma. That's why life is not what you think. So, even feng shui and fortune telling, when you understand, then you won't be gullible. Because it's like your bank account. You got your bank account, your money there. You spend faster only, understand not? Because you have good feng shui, good qi. So, All the condition for good karma arise, so you like more lucky, more blessed, understand? But it's like taking from your law of karma, the account, understand? But when all this money used up already, how? You have to go back to square one, isn't it? No more. So you have to confront all this because the world is round, understand? Rotating on the axis, going round. The moon effect, the other planetary system and star system, they affect. If you don't take care of karma, nothing can help you, I tell you. That's why people who go and ask the Buddha for protection. You know what the Buddha's advice is? What is your highest protection, the Buddha said? Huh? What is the highest protection? Ayo. As a Buddhist, you don't know this one. I write in red color. The Buddha said nothing protect except this one. Can read or not? Virtue. What is virtue? Your goodness, your wholesomeness. Understand not? All of your kindness, gentleness, wholesomeness. Without virtue, your karma is, your karmic nature is haywire. Understand not? That's why you must take care of all this. You must have goodness, kindness. When you are good to people, people will be good to you. When you have wholesomeness, wholesomeness will come back to you. That's why you look at Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they are always so wealthy. Why? After they become so wealthy, they donate again. So you reap what you sow. The more you give, the more you receive. You don't believe, you go and try. You do wholesomeness. You treat people well. Wholesomeness will come back to you. Law of karma is like that. Don't be selfish. Understand? I give you a good example. As parents, do your duty. Take care of your children. Love them. Care for them. Provide for them. Be responsible. Counsel them. Advise them. Your duty as parents is to advise them. Protect them. Care for them when they are under your care when they are young. And when you do this duty, this is what your karma and inheritance is all about. So that in future when you come, you will have parents who will look after you, care for you, provide for you, don't force you to do funny things. But if you are selfish, you neglect your duty, you abuse your children, you simply spend your wealth and don't provide for them and care for them, then you know what happened. In future, when you come, you have parents that do the same thing to you. Or then you hate your parents. Oh, you blame your parents. You curse the floor. But when you do that to other people in the previous life, you never curse yourself. That's why you cannot be so selfish. These are nature's law. How come people are born so much more luckier than you? It's because in the past, they have done these good things. Like you give inheritance to your children. The Buddha got teach, you know, at the appropriate right time, you must hand over your inheritance. So that in future, you have parents who will hand over inheritance to you in the appropriate way too. So all these are nature's law. When you understand, you become beautiful. But when you don't understand, you try to cheat, scheme, shortcut, and deceive. You think you can take advantage of situation, but nature's law, very powerful. That's why when you start to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, it starts to show it to you. Never worthwhile to break and violate all these precepts. This law of karma is very powerful. Do not ever go against it or neglect your life, because they are very, very powerful. You are born of it, here to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. So if I were you, I make haste to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to develop this understanding so that I can change my life over to a proper way of living life. So that every life I come, I become beautiful. I will be blessed with all of the wholesomeness, virtue, goodness that I cultivate. When I inherit them, my life will be in order, beautiful, meaningful. Then make determination. by the power of all these merits, wholesomeness, blessings, may arise the causes and conditions for you to every life when you come to have this understanding and wisdom so that you can continue to live your life accordingly, appropriately. So that your karma, your karmic nature will continue to grow beautifully. So that your spiritual nature will be developed and cultivated until perfection. Yeah. And this is how you should understand life and live life. That's why you are blessed, because you are born during the dispensation of the Buddha, Buddha Sasana, where the teaching is still around. And you are born as a human being. You have the condition to encounter the triple gem, and you don't know how to make use of it. You miss this window. It's very difficult for you to find another condition or opportunity, yeah, to have this window again. Okay? Yeah, I hope I answer your question. Huh? Okay, what time shall we end? Oh, now. Okay.
Dear brothers and sisters, let us rejoice with a gratitude and respect to Bharati by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We respect, we invite Bharati to lead us in sharing our merits.
Okay, we will do the closing puja. We will invoke the power of merits. We recall to mind over the last 1.5 hours or so of wholesomeness, where you do your puja, develop all the meritorious action, you listen to Dhamma talk, straighten your view, you maintain your faith, you keep your precept, you meditate. You rejoice and develop a lot of wholesomeness. So by the power of this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for all of you to realize your good and noble wishes, and at the same time to allow us to share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. We will chant in Pali. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe dewa anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yao nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. There we end.
Buddham pujimi, Dhammam pujimi, Sanghaṃ pujami.